welcome to the new Stronach 5 podcast brought to you by the In the Money Media Network. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, out in Las Vegas for the National Horse Players Championship, and I'm very excited to watch this field of 500-something players over the next few days competing for their share of $3 million. But I'm also really excited about this podcast and the Stronach 5 tomorrow and looking forward to watching it in the ballroom with the NHC crowd, and hopefully some of the thoughts we give on this show can help you hit the bet, can help us hit the bet. Here with me in his customary seat, competing in the NHC, but also very likely to be firing at this Stronach 5 tomorrow. He is back in Las Vegas from the Planet Texas. He's the People's Champion. What's up, JK?
PTF, I'm excited about this this new show. I've long said this is the best bet in racing for various reasons I'm sure we'll cover, but it's exciting to be able to promote something that that you believe in, something that that you participate in, and something that you hope that other racetracks and other racing entities get a hold of and realize that this is something that the players want and something the players enjoy. And it's like I said, it's the most horse player friendly wager that's out there. And if you're not aware of it, we're glad to point it out to you. And if you forget about it on Fridays, hopefully we'll be reminding you.
That's right. The show hopefully popping up in your feed. You can subscribe to the main In the Money Players podcast feed over on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and these Stronach 5 shows will be showing up in there. Before we get into the actual handicapping, I just want you to back up that statement, which I agree with wholeheartedly, about why this is the best bet in racing. What appeals to you about the Stronach 5?
There's three things that I think stand out. One is the 12% takeout. Okay, that's
tremendous.
That's it's industry. It's close to industry best, if not best. Right. Obviously, there's some bets that might have some occasional low takes, but the 12% on the multi-race bet, I don't think there's anything better than that. I love the dollar minimum. I know a lot of horse players think that that's a way to phase out the smaller player. I disagree. I think the smaller player has a better shot with the dollar minimum when they're facing the computer systems, right? The computer automated betting systems that are out there, those computers love the lower minimum because they can cover various combinations at efficient amounts, okay? They can have a $3.50 pick four, and they can have it right down to that 50-cent mark. The dollar makes it a little bit more complicated to be able to do to cover all those combinations efficiently. I know it's a little bit down the rabbit hole, but the dollar minimum is better for the horse player, small and large.
I agree, and I fought the fight for a long time. I was in favor of lower minimums, but what I've seen happen, and I do agree with you, JK, it's really just a hypothesis. I haven't seen the data on it, but that the CRW players, the computer robotic wagering players, can take advantage of the 20-cent minimum and just spread like crazy and bet efficiently, eliminating a small number of combinations, making a living on the rebate. And I think that's why we've seen the value drain out of so many pools. And you can test it by looking at what the parlay pays versus what the pick bet pays. You do that same exercise with the Stronach 5, and you're going to see why we're so excited about it and the dollar minimum in particular.
So often, I'll play a pick 4 or a pick 5 at various racetracks, and when I see the payout, I go, ugh. Really? Only 800? I had a 20-to-1 shot in this sequence, or whatever it might be. It's the opposite when I play the Stronach 5. I'll hit the Stronach 5 on a day where I thought it was going to pay 1,000, and it pays 6. I'm like, how did that happen? And so, and I think a lot of it has to do with the low takeout and the minimum.
It's a powerful 1-2 punch. That's right. I mean, certainly the takeout's a factor there too, but I also think it's a question of game selection.
And then the third thing that I love about the bet, and this has nothing to do with finances, I love it's fun. It's quick. It happens. It seems it happens in a much tighter window than your typical pick five run where you got to wait 30 minutes in between races. This, you could have races that are on top of each other sometimes. So that's great from an entertainment standpoint. And I love the variety that you get getting different racetracks, different riders, different trainers, different weather, different everything. There's a lot of variety in the wager, and I enjoy that as from a fan standpoint as well.
A lot of players are involved in playing horses because of the challenge, and there is something really fun about the added challenge of knowing what's going on at all these different racetracks. And that's something, as time goes on, you know, this is the maiden voyage, and, you know, we're standing very happy with what we're producing here today. But as time goes on, I envision, you know, even more material from us in terms of social media keeping track of where a bias may be turning up, or a trainer or jockey who are so hot they must be included. Hopefully, we're going to be able to create a whole community of horse players playing this bet and interact with them socially, etc., social media terms, to really make this fun and give players a leg up when it comes to playing this Stronach 5 and make it something they do on a weekly basis.
Yeah, hey, I'm knocking. Hey, horse players, especially the ones that like to complain.
Which is all of them.
Which is all of them.
All of us, I should say. We're not immune.
We are constantly asking for a better situation from the racetracks, from the horsemen, from all these organizations. When they give it to us, we have to stand up and say we appreciate it. And the best way we can do that is by supporting this type of wager so that other racetracks will say, oh, wow, look what they're doing over there. Let's try that as well. I ran downstairs to register for the last chance. I was standing in line, and there was a guy behind me, I won't say his name, but a tournament legend standing behind me. He looked over his shoulder and had a small panic attack because he thought that the Stronach 5 was today and that he had forgotten. He goes, oh, is it? Oh, and I was like, no, it's tomorrow. He's like, oh, okay, good.
The way I put it is we vote with our dollars in the world today, really, but especially in America, especially in the racetrack business. Let's vote with our dollars and lift up this bet. Now, one other thing we wanted to talk about, we're not trying to just come up with a tight budget and put out a ticket that everybody can play here. We're seeing this more as an interactive process where we're going to walk through how we're going to play the bet, and then we're hoping people will know to adjust accordingly and scale up to a bigger bankroll than what we're looking to throw out there in the world, or find a way to scroll down to be able to accommodate a lower bankroll. But the most important thing we want to do is focus on what we think is a better way of betting. And we didn't make this up by any means. This goes back to fantastic work done by the likes of Barry Meadow and Stephen Crist, two people who I'm very proud to say I've learned an awful lot from interacting with their books and having the chance to talk to them personally. So nothing we're bringing out here is new. We're not reinventing the wheel, but we did want an opportunity to go into a lot more depth than we have in the past about creating these ABC tickets, whatever phrase you want to use. But it's a way, I think it works particularly well in the Pick 5, that you can express your opinion where when you're completely right, you're going to win a lot. But when you're mostly right, you're also going to have the opportunity to still cash tickets and also do the thing that I think is most important when you're writing exotic wagers. Try to have those tickets be an accurate reflection of your specific opinion.
Yeah, our point here is going away from the typical simulcast public handicapper picks situation. We are not here to give you a ticket that you can then run to your ADW or run to your racetrack and play it exactly like we've given it to you. Now
you
you're more
than
welcome,
you want. Yeah.
More than welcome. But that's not the design. The design is, and if you've never listened to any of our shows, Pete's the smart one, and I'm the one who's less smart. So I usually
the first time you've ever said anything like that on these airwaves.
Well, it's because I'm going to bury you in a little bit, so I'm trying to be nice now. I sometimes will tee Pete up so that I don't say the wrong thing. Pete, what's that quote about a fish and fishing? And what's the
you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. That one.
Yes, we're trying to teach you to fish, right? This is not the typical, here's a fish you can eat today. We want to show you there's a better way, a more efficient way to wager. I'm shocked how many good horse players still bet caveman tickets. And you got to get away from that.
Let's give that a definition.
A caveman ticket is when you walk to the window and you say, can I play a pick five at the Stronach 5? I'm going to go a dollar Stronach 5. I'm going to do 4.78 with 3.72 with whatever, and you just call it out on one ticket.
Every combination gets bet the exact
equal.
Same.
Yeah, if an American Pharoah and a 30-to-1 shot are in the same leg, you're betting them the same. You're having the same dollar amount on American Pharoah as you are on FNX, okay? One of my favorite names in racing. And so,
don't get me started.
And so we want to show you that there's a better way to do it. We want you to have your strong opinion for $2 and your kind of saver backup FNX, quote-unquote FNX opinion for a dollar. You need to have American Pharoah for two. It's silly to have the same amount on those two completely different talent animals And so we're going to try to show you how to do that, and we'll walk you through it. You'll notice our plays will be on the Stronach feeds, various racetracks leading up to it. So you'll be able to see the A's and the B's that we've laid out for you there. And we're excited about that. And we'll also try to give them to you here as well.
Speaking of social media, there is going to be a Stronach 5 account. How can folks find that?
Yeah, they're going to be under @firstbet. 1STBET, right? 1, the number 1, STBET, and then also the hashtag Stronach 5. And we'll be posting stuff there. We'll be updating about the races when they're announced. So if you haven't followed that on Twitter, follow that on Twitter. You just look through one of our two feeds, @UTBigHair, @BigHair, @LoomsBoldly, and you'll see those. There's been some retweets already. You can find it that way.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure we have a lot of new folks in. We're so excited about this partnership with the Stronach Group. And if folks want to know what's going on with us, you can find us on Twitter or through the contact information page over at inthemoneypodcast.com. In time, I also see developing some tools over on the website where making these tickets, it's not hard, but it helped greatly with a little bit of technology. And maybe we can provide some tools eventually when folks want to be generating their own tickets.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the natural way, if you have an ExpressBet account, there is a way on there for ticket, you know, ticket construction where you can do an A-B situation where you can kind of take what we're telling you, you can apply it. There's various places to go, but ExpressBet, I think, would be a good start.
All right, that's another good idea. Let's start handicapping, JK. And this sequence kicks off with leg A, which is race 8, the nightcap from Laurel Park. We've got three-year-olds in a maiden claiming situation. They have the sort of waiver maiden claiming deal at Laurel, so many of them are not in for the price. We got 6 furlongs on the dirt. Why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, I think it's important to know about this wager. It's always going to start at Laurel. They host the wager, so the first leg will typically always be Laurel. Obviously, when Laurel's not open, that can probably pivot a little bit. But while Laurel's open, it will always start at Laurel. Yeah, you mentioned it's a maiden 40 claimer, but in Maryland, they allow Maryland bred and or Maryland sired horses to waive the tag. So, for instance, the horse drawn to the inside, the 2, DeShackled, is running in a maiden 40 race, but is not in for the tag, protected. So a very big advantage for those Maryland-bred horses. So that's obviously something you want to consider. Here's what I'll tell you about Laurel. If you don't ever look at Laurel, it's not a track you're usually playing. The rail is typically not where you want to be. You want to kind of make that outside swooping middle of the track move. I always downgrade horses that are going to be on the rail. Now, DeShackled is one that has some good numbers. He's got Trevor McCarthy. He's one that could probably get a good trip off the rail, but naturally, even if I love the horse, I'm starting with this horse as a B horse. He's in a disadvantageous spot, and I don't want him to spend a lot of money on him because I just feel like there's a disadvantage being down there. So I'm going to start this off by putting him as a B horse based on where he's drawn.
I was going to try to encourage, maybe even to try to fully beat DeShackled as my main opinion in this race, but I did want to talk about it more with you. I agree about the general track profile there, that being buried down on the inside can be often where you don't want to be. But watching the tape of this one, the horse ran pretty well down on the inside. I'm still leaning against, just because I think there's going to be plenty of other pace in here, especially if the entry draws in. Both halves of the entry won't go, even if there are 2 scratches, because the same rider is named. But I just see plenty of other pace and was wanting to beat DeShackled completely. I was a little concerned about how well this horse ran on the rail last time. 38-1 that day, though, and again, so much other pace in here. Well, let's make a decision on DeShackled before we talk about this.
My strong vote here is for a B. That's because I like a lot of the other horses. There's some outside speed horses. I just can't envision DeShackled's either going to have to rush from the rail and do a lot of running down on the rail, which is trouble on a fair racetrack, right? And now he's going to have pressure to his outside, or he's going to take back, and then he's going to be ridden completely different than his good race last time. I just think there's a lot of reasons why you can take a horse that's going to take some money, that's going to be on a lot of people's tickets, and you can either move down to a B horse, or you can toss all the way out. And it's a great opportunity to save some money on your budget if you're trying to pare down. The horses I'm going to use as A's, I'm going to kind of spread a little bit here, because I think outside of that opinion, it's kind of a wide-open race. Royal Thunder, the 4, I'm going to make an A, is a horse that has shown a lot of speed out in California, shows up here. It's probably a horse I'm going to play in the NHC as well. don't
tell
Brittany, anyone.
I'm a big Brittany Russell fan,
right,
by the way.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Does fantastic work. And I had Royal Thunder as an A as well, a little bit as Brittany Russell, for me, becoming one of those pet trainers I always want to try to include. Does such a good job. First time with this one that showed speed out west. I mean, I don't have much to add. I'm absolutely down with Royal Thunder as an A. Who else do you want to include on the A?
I'm going to use a 7 Metal Magician. Horse has been bet the last two times. Hasn't really run all that well, but it's taken a lot of money, so someone thinks something can run well. Now is up in class after the claim for a trainer who's winning at 37% in 2020. That's a really good number, a high number. Things are going well for that barn. I'm going to use Metal Magician with some speed as an A horse. Golasso is a horse that I just like to say the name because I enjoy soccer when they yell that really loud. Doesn't have a lot of speed, but has the numbers that fit and is the type of horse that if they run fast, can get that outside swooping trip that we mentioned. That'll be an A for me as well. And then, look, you have to make your own decision on what you want to do with the two first-time starters that are drawn to the outside. They both, the 10 Self-Awareness and the 11 Commissioner Biggs, they both come from barns that win at nice clips with first-time starters in their careers. Trombetta wins at 17% with first-time starters, and Cal Lynch wins at 19%. So you have to decide what you're going to do. I'm going to get skinny later in the sequence, so I'm going to use both of these as A horses. I wouldn't fault you for moving them as Bs or going with the experience types, but I think there are definitely two horses that come from barns that can win first out, so you want to consider them.
I like everything you're saying. I will add one more note on Metal Magician. I would move up Metal Magician if, in fact, the entry scratches, just because I think then, pace-wise, this one's just going to get an absolutely beautiful trip stalking the speed.
When you're considering your tickets, remember that the entry, the same rider's named on both, so you'd imagine that only one will go, I would think.
Yes, I think that might even be by rule.
Right, so don't fall for that. Ooh, it's an entry 2-for-1.
Yeah, this
I better
is not
use.
A 2-for-1.
I don't think it is. Yeah. Now, wait till you see what the draw is going to be.
I guess that's right.
They can name both and switch or whatever, but it feels like one of them's not going to run.
I think that sounds right. All right, so let's recap and then move on.
So the A horses I'm going to use here are the 4, 7, 8, 10, 11, and I'm going to have one B horse. And we'll show you how to kind of construct those tickets towards the end. We'll talk you through it. It's much easier, like I said, if you jump on ExpressBet and look how they do it. But essentially, we'll wrap that up at the end on how you throw together a basic A-B ticket.
And should we do a blog post that has the actual tickets?
Yes.
So that you can also recap there. You don't have to just be furiously taking notes. I think the blog is the way to go far down the rabbit hole if you really want.
Pro tip? Wise guy tip? If you're listening to this podcast on any podcast form, you can typically do the 1.5 or the 2x speed. So if it's 20 minutes to post right now and you want to hear all this show, you can speed us up by doing the 1.5 or the 2x speed. It sounds funny.
We run the risk of sounding like Martin Scorsese in 1976, but if you can deal with that, and hopefully not too many people understood that reference. Let's move on to Leg B, JK. We're talking about the first race, the Curtain Jerker from Santa Anita on Friday. 5.5 furlongs on the turf for maiden special weights. This is a race for me. I really wanted to just play two against the field, but then the more I look at this first-time starter, the more I want to include. Very curious where you're going to go. Why don't you start talking turkey in this race?
Man, these 5.5 sprints, any five and a half anywhere is about to break. So firsters always make me a little bit nervous because your biggest concern with a firster is that they're not going to break from the gate. So I'm not really for Blue Blitz, but I have no problem using as a B. That's the beauty of the AB. I feel like I'm not using him equally to Austin's Boy and Zero Down. It makes me feel better. It makes me feel like I'm being more responsible with my ticket construction. I can just have a saver on him. If he pops, if he's good and he runs, then I'm not going to be sick about that. So I won't fight you on having him as a B.
I have a stat I'll give you, but first make the case on the A's. I'm sure we see the A's the same. Austin's Boy, the 3, and 5-0 Down.
People that know me, I like the 3 not because of the name. I like my son's
not
name
only
is Austin.
Do you reside in the city of Austin, but you have a child named Austin. I have failed the podcast by not naming my daughter Brooklyn and living in Brooklyn. If I have my life to do over again, we'll correct that.
Austin's boy is one who's well-bred. He's a half to Richard's boy. Our Maryland friends will remember, I believe, Richard's boy won a stake on Preakness Day. I think maybe on the undercard of American Pharoah on Preakness Day, I believe he won. He beat our buddy Pay Any Price in the rain. So I think people will know him. Bred well, broke a little bit slow last time, but has a figure that makes a lot of sense. I think this horse could be tough down from the inside, getting hustled away from there. And then the 5-0 down, back as a two-year-old in November, ran a figure that fits with what these have been running as three-year-olds, and had a terrible break and that start going five. Now hopefully will break a little bit better, gets the extra half furlong. These are the only two that I need, the 3 Austin's boy, the 5-0 down. I think it's worth mentioning that I am not going to fall for Perfect Affection. I do not like cutback horses going 5 or 5.5. This horse debuted going short. Phil D'Amato stretched the horse out, and now cutting back again, it seems like we don't really know what we're doing here with this horse. We're trying to figure him out, and I'm not going to waste my money while they're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, when you say don't really know what we're doing, you're certainly not impugning his training ability, just saying sometimes, you know, they don't know either. They're trying to figure it out as they go. Not so interested in taking a shortish price on one where they're trying to figure it out as they go.
Racehorses are not Mr. Ed. They don't say, hey, Phil, I don't really want to run that far. Can you cut me back, please? Phil's got to figure it out on his own.
All right. I want to pause on the 0 down point you make because I think it's such a good one. That idea about the two-year-old figure that fits with what ones have been running at 3. The idea is to project figure improvement for maturity. That's an idea that's in a lot of the handicapping books, including Mike Maloney's book, Betting with an Edge. And I think it can be a really smart way to see things that maybe aren't there in the bare form. When you can know to project that kind of improvement, that can maybe give you an advantage over people just taking numbers on paper. Literally, we want to focus more on betting on the show, but we still want to get into some of our favorite handicapping angles. And let me just hit you. It sounds like I've already convinced you on Blue Blitz, but I mean, the case for me is pretty simple. It's a really nice looking work tab, and Mike Harrington's stats are not overwhelming overall. But when you filter them a little bit, which you can do with Stats Racelens, our friends and partners over there, if you look at Harrington's stats with first-time starters under 10-1, which this one will almost surely be in this field, all of a sudden the sort of generic baseline, which isn't all that impressive for Harrington, goes up to something pretty nice, 21% winners, 50% in the money, and a whopping $2.65 ROI on the $2. Do me a favor and let's make this one a B.
Only because I like you. And a normal, I mean, I would have if you're budget restricted, this is a spot where I would only use 2.
And I would agree with that.
If you're flush and you don't like getting beat, and it's going to make you sick to your stomach if this horse pops out of there and wires the field, go ahead and throw him in as a B horse once again. It's the advantage of doing it this way. It feels a lot less dirty than just using the horse because you're scared of the horse. I try not to do that. I try to bet what I think is going to happen. So,
yeah, for me, having the stat, that's just the difference between wanting to include and not include to me, because I feel like I've got some piece of knowledge that isn't just staring everybody in the face like the workouts. The combination of the two things, just to recap, we'll take number 3, Austin's Boy, number 5-0 down as A's, and Blue Blitz as a B. And with that, we will move on to leg C of the Stronic 5. This is race 8 from Gulfstream Park, mile and a 16th, 4-year-olds and up, fillies and mares, optional claiming, $25,000. Start us off here, JK. What do you want to do here?
Well, I mean, I thought this race was kind of straightforward as well. I mean, obviously, Navarro has a horse that, you know, he'll have second time. That horse was buried down on the inside first time for Navarro. Now gets to draw outside with some speed. I think that could help that horse a lot. And you know, Navarro's second time is, it's all, you know, if he didn't get it right the first time, they can typically find their groove the second time. One of the best claiming trainers out there claimed this horse for 25 a couple races back. And then Royal Flag for Chad Brown. Chad will get him ready to run off a layoff. He wins layoff. 27% first time off a layoff, so that's not going to be an issue for him. You know, the best trainer in North America, some would argue. And so I think Royal Flag has the big performance, the maiden win winning by eight. He's well-bred. He's a half to Catalina Cruiser and a full to a horse by the name of Eagle. Eagle was never the big horse,
Eagle,
but he was a runner.
Yeah, they could both run really well.
So this one is a homebred for Mr. Farish. Obviously, some big plans for this horse. I think he could be tough in here. So those are the only two that I felt like I needed as A's, was the 4 and the 7. But then I did think that it was worth a B for the 5, Assume Control. If you look at the PPs, Michael Yates has had this horse for his last 4 starts with Michael Yates. Horse is undefeated. He won by 3. He won by almost 2. He won by 6. He won by 3. Michael Yates went back in to claim this horse for 12.5 after he lost him for 10. Michael Yates likes this horse. This horse likes Michael Yates. Maybe this one is kind of like Mr. Ed and can tell Michael Yates what he likes to eat. So I think this is one you want to consider. I don't think he's as talented or as fast as the other two. But if the Navarro horse just really isn't that great, you know, maybe the claim for Navarro is not going to work. And then maybe Royal Flag is one of the horses that needs some time. Or maybe he was off of that's why he was off, because he had a situation and now he's back. You know, those two could maybe not run well. And I think Awesome Control is a great one to kind of have a backup on, although I think the other two are extremely more likely.
I think Assume Control is going to be a bigger price than the 6-1 of the morning line. And I like the idea of having this one as a backup if you can afford it, based on the creative case you made. I feel like half the time on this show, I'm hopefully using the end product the way a lot of listeners are. You can hear JK can be very creative and come up with some of these cases, and it'll make me want to include a horse. And so I'm good with Assume Control on that basis. Violent Trick, I mean, you nailed it. If you only can afford 2, Violent Trick and the Chad Brown runner, Royal Flag, I'd be absolutely good with those. I don't need to belabor it too much, but Violent Trick should be, I mean, it's also just race design. I just see Violent Trick, who was on the lead in very quick time last time, being alone on the lead this time. I can see Royal Flag getting a great toe into the race and those two having it between them. I am against a horse. I was hoping you'd mention Big Tina in here so I could try to talk you out. Big Tina is one I'm absolutely good being against. This is a horse that I feel like had an okay pace situation last time. The chart comments say dueled, and that's not inaccurate. But when you look at the fractions, if you're a Timeform US user, you can see that the 6 furlong was coded blue. I just feel like that was a pretty good scenario for this horse to run a good number and right on or near the lead, and now comes back in this spot where 7 horses are projected to be faster early. I'm absolutely good with the full fade on Big Tina here. Anything else to add, or do you want to just recap this one and move us along?
A couple things. First of all, it feels like Paco is just going to kind of be in a tough spot here. What's he going to do? Send, go too fast, or take back and not get a great trip from the inside, getting, you know, a lot of kickback and all
Paco
that stuff.
Paco aboard Big Tina.
The other thing is I don't know who Big Tina is, but if I close my eyes and imagine, it feels like she's like a lady that sits at the OTB and and everyone just calls her Big Tina. That's what I'm envisioning who Big Tina is. And if anyone knows who Big Tina is, let me know on Twitter.
We need to hear from the Hernandez Racing Club. I do have one more note before we recap. I don't know, JK, you're well known as a card-carrying member of the Bob Baffert fan club. You've got the silver wig. You text the poor man from time to time. And now you're calling Chad Brown the top trainer in North America. You might have to give that silver wig back.
You missed what I said. I said some would argue.
Not you.
Some would argue.
Not you.
Not me.
Okay.
I don't own a Chad Brown t-shirt, I can tell you that much.
Oh, yeah, you're going to bust out your Baffert t-shirt?
It's here. It's here.
Oldsmokeclothing.com. Use the promo code MONEY, and you get free shipping. And, of course, while you're there, navigate over to the Partners tab. We have the I'm Alive and the Pick 5 t-shirt I saw you rocking earlier. My personal favorite, the Degenerate Horse Player shirt. And then the Not to Be Forgotten, your special. Tell the people about the new one.
The Chalk Eating Weasel. I don't even have one yet, but I definitely need to get one. I deserve it.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so we've got that sorted out, and that will move us on to leg D of the Stronic 5. We head out west to Golden Gate Fields for their third race. We've got $3,500 claimers, 4 and up, going 1 mile. My top pick in here, you mentioned before you were going to give me a hard time. I'm wondering if this is where it's going to come up. I see it as a spread race, but if you force me to make a top pick in here, even though I think the horse will probably be an underlay, Asking for Trouble is going to be my top pick. What are your thoughts on this one, Jonathan?
Well, this is my opportunity to look smart in front of all the new listeners and then to confirm to the old listeners that I'm smarter than you. I'm going to toss the 7, asking for trouble. If you look at that horse's last 16 races, been single digits and only won once, and that's when he was odds on. So I just don't want a horse like that. He doesn't like to get his picture taken. I know a lot of people like that don't like to get their picture taken. Asking for trouble seems to be a 5-year-old gelding that doesn't enjoy the camera. And I think that that there's some value. He's a horse that's going to be used. The trainer has a good stats first claim. And so I think a lot of people are going to use that horse. I'm not. I'm going to spread here. Use the 1, the 2, the 5, and the 6. The 1... is one who has nice numbers. A couple races back, ran a nice enough race. He's drawn down the inside, should save some ground there. Kona Coast is a 1 for Jonathan Wong. He doesn't need any introduction. I think people, even if you're not familiar with Golden Gate, you've heard Jonathan Wong. He wins at a very high rate. And then the 5 and the 6, Aztec Warrior, the 6, Typhoon Harry. They've got their last two starts or last starts don't look all that great, but if you get a little deeper in the PPs, there's some numbers there that really fit. These horses are 8-1, 5-1 morning line. I think you'll probably get that, at least that, in the multi-race pools with the 7 taking a lot of money. I'm going to use those as A horses. And just because I don't want to see you crying like an emotional Brooklynite, I'll let you have the 7 as a B horse. You can try to convince me the A.
No, I'm okay. You make some good points from a value point of view, but I just want to point out that at this level, and you look at, you mentioned the Isidro Tamayo numbers, I mean, they're huge. It's like 28% with a big positive ROI, first off claim. This horse is not far behind. I feel like we've got some other good opinions in this sequence. I feel like it's cutting off your nose to spite your face to leave this one out. I really would like to lobby for a B, and hey, even if you're doing it out of sympathy, as long as I get my way, JK, I'm fine with that.
All right, well, when he runs out of the exacta, you're going to owe me a slice of pizza. How about that?
Let's do a little head-to-head here. You'll say out of the exacta, I buy you pizza, and in the exacta, you buy me pizza for this?
Fair enough.
I'm getting good value on that one. I'm almost certain. All right, let's move. Actually, let's recap really quickly. So, Golden Gate, Leg D, 1, 2, 5, 6 are the A's, and the B is going to be number 7, my top pick, Asking for Trouble. And with that, we will move on to the leg where we figure out if we're going to get paid. It is the 10th race from Gulfstream Park. 8K claimers going a mile. JK, how are we going to get the money?
Yeah, you know, in the last leg of these types of sequences, I like to be a little bit more aggressive when it comes to if there's a possible single. Now, I don't try to find a single, but if there's a horse that I'd like to single, then this is a great time to do it, because this isn't a typical hedge opportunity where you're playing horses that you didn't like, but you're scared they're going to beat you because you're alive for a score. I don't really recommend that, but I do like to hedge in a more thoughtful way, where if there's horses that I would normally like to include in the sequence because I actually like them a little bit, I just happen to like chirping more, then I'll single chirping here. And then when I get to the last leg, I'll have a will pay on what I'm going to hit if I hit the pick 5. Then I know if I want to bet some of those other horses for a couple hundred here, a couple hundred there, whatever it might be. So I'm going to single A chirping. If you're going to use Bs, which we'll go ahead and draw this ticket up using B horses, I'm going to use Postino's Vow and French Quarter. Chirping is one who is right off of Safi Joseph. Great first-time start with. He's 26% in his career. He's got 81 wins out of 312 times. He's had a horse make his first start with him. The horse has figures with the previous trainer that fit. And now he goes to a higher percentage trainer who moves horses up. You think he's going to run a little bit faster here today? I think he will. Postino's Vow, Jorge Navarro getting back on the dirt, ran into Bodie's Express. Bodie Express last, or two times back on the dirt, where Bodie Express broke the track record that day down at Gulfstream Park West. And then French Quarter. I've been running around here for years saying that I don't bet horses off of Mike Maker. But the truth of the matter is the stats aren't that bad. Mike Maker in the last year has lost 27 horses that have been claimed off of him. And those horses win at a 27% clip when they get a little time. 45 days or more, they win at a 27% clip. I didn't expect that. So the trainer obviously isn't the most efficient, a 12% trainer. But I think that this horse still might run okay. He's a horse that I probably use as a B.
French Quarter fits on the numbers, but I'm absolutely good with the idea of singling chirping here. And for me, it comes down to race design as much as anything else. The pace looks fast. This horse has some closing kick and should get just a great journey in the race. One other idea about hedging, and yeah, hedging, as you said, it's not... When it's sort of a built-in backup strategy, I don't think of it as hedging in that fearful way of, oh, I'm alive to these horses, and but I didn't use the favorite, so I'll bet the favorite out of fear. I'm not in favor of that type of hedging. But if it's in line with what your opinion is, let's say you get to this race and you're only alive to your A horse, chirping. Maybe you go ahead and take those B horses and play them on top of chirping in an exacta. This is a way, instead of betting a couple of hundred on those other runners, you might be able to get away with betting, I don't know, 20 or 50 bucks and being able to get paid back your investment or maybe even more of your investment. Hey, there are times where you can hedge in the last leg like that and make more money. And you figure, hey, if chirping wasn't going to run second, you weren't meant to hit the bet anyway, but it's a smart way to protect against bad beats and get a little bit of insurance for not a little bit of money, for not a lot of money.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think that there's always a big advantage being able to see the will pay, to understand what you're alive to, and to be able to make some smart decisions outside of that. We'll never recommend hedging out of fear, but I think hedging in an intelligent way where you're playing horses that you think have a real shot, that you just decided not to include them in your sequence.
And I stole that idea. I made it sound like it was mine. That's also from Mike Maloney's Betting with an Edge. Limited number of copies of that still on sale. Reach out to me if you're interested. There may be another edition down the line, though even Mike himself doesn't know that yet, but I'll have that conversation with you soon, Mike, if you're listening, and he might be. Okay, to recap, last leg, the 7 is our lone A horse, and we will take the 3 and the 9 as Bs. Let's talk, without going too far into the weeds, because we will have some information over on the website as well, but let's give a general idea about how we're going to put these tickets together. And for that, I'll send it back to you, Jonathan Kinchin.
This is always hard to say out loud.
It's not easy. That's why I made you do it.
Okay. So bear with me here. Grab a piece of paper and a pen. You're going to have, if you play this ticket with all A's and then A's with one B, you should have a total of 6 tickets. Okay, so you're going to have your all A lines. So you take all those A horses and you play them in one ticket. And so it'd be like 4, 7, 8, 10, 11 with 3, 5 with 4, 7 with 1, 2, 5, 6 with 7. You're going to have that. That's an $80 ticket. Now, typically, you want to have your all A line for a multiple. You don't want to have it the same as your A's with one B. So you'd like to hit that twice. Now, that makes it 160. I don't know what your budget is. You know, obviously scale according to your budget. Then your A's with one B ticket, okay? You're going to have 5 of those. So essentially what you're going to do is you're going to use the B horse in the first leg, which is the 2, and then you're going to go A, 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 and A. That's one ticket. Then you're going to come back with another ticket. You're going to use the A horse in the first leg, A horses in the first leg. Then you're going to use the B horses in the second leg, A, A, A. Now, I know that's really hard to explain verbally.
The blog post will help.
But look at the blog post, you'll understand it. And that's how you would do that. You'd go all the way down. So essentially, you're going to have your all A ticket, and then you're going to have 5 other tickets where you have A's with one B. And like I said, the blog post is going to be the easiest way to do that. ExpressBet has a way that will kind of help you do that. So there's a lot of different tools you can use. Or you can just keep rewinding and listening to what I said until you figure it out.
Yeah, I would recommend where you go from the 1.5 speed to the 0.5 speed and we'll just be talking very slowly anyway.
That'd be really slow if you had it on 0.5 while you did that.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to sound good. I don't recommend that. Hit the fast forward. Skip 30 seconds ahead if you have to do that. All right, I think we've done what we're going to do here today for the maiden voyage on the Stronach 5 show. We will have that blog post available. You can check out more information there. I want to thank our partners at the Stronach Group for helping get the show off the ground. And, of course, you, JK, for doing math and succeeding today. Congratulations.
I appreciate it. It's something about Vegas, something in the air.
Most of all, I want to thank all of you for tuning into this show, especially all of our new listeners finding us for the first time. Again, reach out to us through the site or on Twitter. We are here for your questions, which you can also ask using the hashtag AskITM. We're going to have our listener voicemail set up very soon, but it's not quite active yet. But we will get to that. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. In the Money Media's business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your Stronach 5 photos.